What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to the Give Me Understanding podcast. I'm Aaron Dodson, and Psalm 119, verse 34 is the passage that describes this podcast. The psalmist wrote, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." This is the podcast where I discuss the sacred text, and I do my best to help others understand it. And in doing that, I enjoy it so much, and I hope that you enjoy it as well, thanks to those who listen and download and share this podcast. I want to do a second part on the idea of Romans 12:14, to rejoice with those that rejoice, and look at an illustration in Scripture of an individual who did not rejoice with those who rejoice. If you'd like to look with me at Luke chapter 15, verse 11 and following, this is what we often call the parable of the lost son. And you remember what happened. There was a certain man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal or wasteful living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want, in need. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. That was a reproach to a Jew, no doubt. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods, you know, with the curb pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, you know, mentally, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Now watch this. "And they began to be merry." They began to be full of joy, to rejoice. Now his older son, was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." Now watch this turn of events in the tone of this parable. But he was angry and would not go in. He would not rejoice with those that were rejoicing. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I've been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat, that I might make merry with my sons, that I might rejoice and be full of gladness. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he, the father, said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." There are two or three things here that I want us to consider together from this great teaching of Jesus, and how we should, Romans 12:14, rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep. I've given the wrong reference twice. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. This individual, this prodigal son, was away from his father, hence away from God. When he came to himself, he showed a change of heart and attitude. He changed his direction. He came back to his father, and he pled with his father. He admitted his wrong, verse 18, his wrong attitude, his wrong behavior. said it was against heaven and against him, his father. And he admitted, he said, I'm not worthy to be your son. And he makes a request, make me like one of your hired servants. But the father was not like that. The father here represents our God and Father in heaven. He arose and came to his father. But the father, you see, the father is one who loves beyond our complete understanding. When the son, who was so sinful, was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son, you know, he's like, Father, I've done wrong and I'm not worthy. Just like he said he would say. But the father said, it's time to rejoice. It's time to be full of joy. Now, you know, someone there could have said, well, no, now's not the time. We're too tired. We're too busy. I've got a lot on my plate. I got hardships in my life, et cetera, et cetera. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Luke 15:23. So the father was a father who knew how to rejoice and be merry. The word translated there, merry, can be translated rejoice, and the word, and to be glad, to cheer, to make merry, to celebrate. Get this, dear listener, dear brother, dear sister. Our God is a God who knows how to rejoice, make merry, and celebrate, and be glad. And so do his faithful people. Because we are like him. We partake of the divine nature, as Peter wrote. But if our minds go in the wrong direction, if we forget whose children we are and how gracious our Father is, and we focus on self, we might respond like this older son who responded like this. What's that noise? What's going on? Just critical, wasn't he? What's all that noise? Wonder why the son, this older son, didn't say, hey, I wonder what the noise is. I wonder if my brother's come home. Instead, he's like, hey, what's all this? What's this mean? Verse 26. And when the report was given, hey, your brother came home. And because he's been received safe and sound, your dad's rejoicing. And instead of rejoicing, this guy's angry. And he won't even go in. The father came out and pleaded with him. Look. And this son, this older son, after his father pled with him, he said, look, Dad, I've been serving you all these years. I had never done anything wrong. I hadn't done anything like this brother. And yet you haven't given me a young goat that I might be glad and celebrate and rejoice. And then he points out the sin of his brother, the past sin of his brother. But as soon as this son of yours came who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. I mean, this father, oh, I'm thinking if I was this father, I could have just snubbed the son in the nose. Instead, he speaks words of reason and truth. Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Do you not realize that? It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And here's what I want us to consider as an application for us in the Lord's church today. When our brothers or sisters are rejoicing, no matter what is going on in their life otherwise, or our life otherwise, or in the country in which we live, if our brother or sister is rejoicing about something, we need to join hand in hand right there with them, because it's right. It is right to rejoice with them. Instead of saying, why are you rejoicing? Do you not know my problems? Do you not know when? Do we ever do that kind of thing? Oh, I see you're happy. And we act as though we're jealous or envious of some good thing that's happened to them. Or we just don't care about them to the extent that we will try to chop them down or make them unhappy with where they are because of where we are. No. No, the faithful child of God doesn't act like this older brother. Instead, he's like the father and the rest of this family and the servants who believed it was right because this son who came back had been dead but was now alive. He had been lost, but he was now found. And they began to be merry, verse 24. Verse 32, it was right that we should make merry and be glad. It was right to celebrate, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Hopefully, certainly, we in the Lord's church would never act this way when a brother or sister comes forward or responds or requests prayers. Maybe a said brother or sister responds publicly to the invitation more frequently than others. Do we treat them like some kind of sore? Like some oddball, do we? Or do we rejoice that they've come home? Or do we rejoice that they are expressing their dependency upon God and upon you and me and others of like faith? As Christians, we must rejoice with those that rejoice. I want to challenge myself and you in the hours and days to come. When you see someone rejoicing, find out what they're rejoicing about. And if it's something that is good and right, it's not something that's immoral or ungodly. If it's something that's good and right and okay, and join in with them and say, that's great. You know, I'm so happy for you. This is great. I'm so glad to see something good. You know, in a world full of negativity and sin, I'm so happy to see that you're doing well. I'm so happy to see that you're enjoying this blessing in your life. And truly, as brothers and sisters, when we celebrate together, we share together. So my blessings can become your blessings and vice versa. We can enjoy them together. We share them together. I'm reminded of the song God's Family and some of the phrases in it. How, as God's family, we share certain precious things together. Particularly for this episode, as I draw this to a close, I want to mention some of the good things that we share together that we need to express with our hearts and our mouths and our actions, a state of gladness and happiness together. We're part of the family that's been born again. We're part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. And then toward the end it says, sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven. God's family. Oh, wow. How wonderful that thought is. And the third verse says that once we meet in heaven together, we will enter in and there'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be together forever. God's family. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, because we know how to rejoice with those that rejoice and be glad with each other over the things that make us to be glad. Thank you, God, Father in heaven. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for giving us those things that cause us to be glad, and may we experience them together as we serve life or serve you, God, together, and as we serve you hand in hand as your people. And we be glad when our brothers and sisters are glad, not jealous, and we certainly don't need to ignore each other when our brother or sister is glad. We don't need to be negligent. We need to pick up, we need to be specific, go to them and smile with them and share that moment and those moments and those times and experiences and life situations that are good together. In the next episode, I want to discuss how we need to weep with those that weep. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. God bless, and we'll catch you next time.